Hello and welcome into Locked On Patriots for Thursday, August 16th, 2018, a game day edition of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back in the big chair here at your favorite daily Patriots podcast. Reminder to check me out on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Follow the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, where I'm one of the head writers. Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, MattWaldmanRSP.com. As I mentioned, Matt and I doing a video on Auburn quarterback Jared Stidham that you might want to check out. As I indicate in that video, he's a player that could potentially fit with what New England likes to do on offense, so Patriots fans might want to check that out. Also, check out the work over at Pro Football Weekly, The Score, where I'm proud to be an NFL Features contributor over there. New piece that just dropped on Jimmy Garoppolo and the two-back passing game. So check out all that stuff. Happy to have you along for the ride here as we get into the 2018 NFL season. Loaded show for you on this game day edition. We're going to talk my expectations for tonight. New England hosting the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in a Super Bowl 52 rematch. We're going to see Tom Brady. We're going to see Nick Foles. We might see a little ire headed the way of Lane Johnson. Obviously, he's been a little chatty since Super Bowl 52. But before we get into all of that, my expectations for tonight, I want to talk about mortality. It's not often that a person, man, woman, has to face their own mortality. But I went through that. I went through that Wednesday morning. And not to scare everybody, this is not a health issue. This is not my actual mortality, more of my professional mortality, a situation where, similar to, let's say, Drew Bledsoe walking off the field and seeing Tom Brady coming on, maybe the rest of the outside world didn't know, but maybe Bledsoe knew in the back of his mind, this kid can play. This kid's got game. He knows what he's doing. This could be it for me. This could be the end of my professional career. I had a moment like that yesterday morning. Wednesday morning, drop off the kids at school. It was an early day for my son at camp. He had a field trip, so we had to get him out the door early, drop the daughter off. So I was back home in front of the computer a lot earlier than usual. So I took my time eating my breakfast, scrolling through the timeline, and then a nuclear bomb of takes was dropped on the timeline from Jalen Ramsey in an interview he gave with GQ, where Jalen just unloaded an avalanche of quarterback takes. And as I started reading it, the tweets were coming in. My phone was melting down. John Ledyard, co-host of the Locked On Draft podcast here, the Locked On Podcast Network, put out a tweet that had a gif of one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just shaking his face in rage with "triggered" as the caption. And the tweet from John basically said, Mark Schofield reading this Jalen Ramsey interview on quarterbacks. Because you get into it, and Jalen unloads on a variety of quarterbacks to the point where I made two conclusions. One, the next time I do quarterback tiers or rankings of any kind, I'm going to have two tiers. One, guys that Jalen Ramsey likes. Two, guys that Jalen Ramsey thinks sucks, i.e. everybody else in the league. And the other thing that hit me is, I might be reading the guy that's going to take my job someday. Whenever Jalen Ramsey decides to hand him up, he can go into the quarterback ranking business and drop the takes because, frankly, he'd fit right on in with the rest of the timeline. And I know this is a game day edition, but I had to open the show with Jalen Ramsey's GQ interview because it is absolutely incredible. And Jalen Ramsey is quickly vaulting up the list of guys that he's not on your team, but you gotta love him. Because, look, let's face it. We like guys that talk. We like guys that talk and back it up. And Jalen Ramsey, so far in his young career, is capable of doing both. Let's dive into some of his quarterback takes because, like I said, they're absolutely, absolutely incredible. You know, he opens it up basically saying, look, you know, he starts talking about the draft quarterbacks, saying that, look, if all these teams liked Baker, then why didn't they like Lamar the same way? Lamar should have gone right after Baker. Why wasn't Lamar the second quarterback chosen instead of at the end of first round? Okay, we're easing in. But Jalen doesn't ease. Jalen dives in because the next paragraph, I think Josh Allen is trash. I don't care what nobody said. He's trash. And it's going to show too. That's a stupid draft pick to me. He goes on to say, he never beat a big school. If you look at his games against big schools, it was always hella interceptions, hella turnovers. It's like, yo, if you're this good, why couldn't you do better? He fits that mold. He's a big, tall quarterback, big arm supposedly. I don't see it personally. Oh my God. That is just incredible. And what was even better was Mike Tenier over at Bleacher Report put out a tweet that was like, we all wrote dozens and dozens and dozens of scouting profiles on Josh Allen, but he could have just boiled it down to four words. Hella interceptions, hella turnovers. My God, and Ramsey was just getting started. He's asked, who are the quarterbacks, in your opinion, who don't suck? Aaron Rodgers does not. There's one. Tom Brady doesn't. There's two. I gotta think now. That's incredible. I think Marcus Mariota is a great quarterback for their team. I think Tyrod, not Tyrod, we learned this week that it's Tyrod, Taylor is actually a better quarterback than he gets credit for because he does not make mistakes. He's honestly a Marcus Mariota type player where he manages a game really well. So there you go. Off the bat, four quarterbacks who don't suck. Rodgers, Brady, Mariota, and Taylor. Interesting. Are you sold on the Garoppolo hype? I don't know yet, Jalen Ramsey says. It was all schemes. He didn't beat us. It wasn't like he diced us up. It was literally all schemes. And if you slide aside here, plug in my own work, if you read my piece over at The Score that dropped yesterday, I started with Jalen Ramsey talking about this. Talk about timing. It's like I nailed that one. But as Ramsey was saying, it was their fullback and their tight end on over routes. They were doing flat routes to the wide open fullback, and he's running for 20 yards down the field four times during the game. So there's his takes on Garoppolo. Then he goes on, I got to go down the list of NFL teams if you all want to make sure I'm hitting all the good quarterbacks. And then there's this interesting sort of like director's note, where it's like italicized and in brackets. At this point, Ramsey has his phone out, scrolling through names. Oh my God, I love this guy. He goes on, Ramsey goes on. Deshaun Watson, he'll be the league MVP in a couple of years, 100%. There's not even a debate about that. Him and Carson Wentz for every year starting now until 5 to 10 years. It's going to be them two. They're that good. Ramsey reads my work, okay? What can I say? Those were my boys. Ramsey's on board. I love that. He goes on to Jimmy Garoppolo. He's average to above average. Okay, so maybe he doesn't read all my work. He wasn't ready to do that. He wasn't ready to start now. When he did get in, he didn't really do that good. But in the second year, they got a new offensive coordinator. Your offensive coordinator is just your brainiac. When we played them, it felt like his offensive coordinator was just drawing up perfect plays. And then he was hitting the open man. For what his team asked him to do, yeah, he's good. Dak Prescott, he's good. He's all right. He's okay. He's like downgraded him in the course of an answer. It's incredible. Talks about Eli. Big Ben. I think he's decent as best. It's not Big Ben. It's Antonio Brown. Big Ben slings the ball a lot of the time. He just slings it. His receivers go get it. He has a strong arm, but he ain't all that. I played him twice last year, and he really disappointed me. He'll be in the Hall of Fame and all that. Jeez. This guy is amazing. He's asked about Blake Bortles, which makes some sense. Blake, do what he got to do. I think in crunch time moments like last year's playoff game, not as a team because we would have trusted him, but I think as an organization, we should have trusted him more to keep throwing it. We got kind of complacent and conservative. I think that's why we lost. We started running it on first and second down, throwing it on third down. Every single time we were out there, the Patriots caught on to that, and he is dead on with that assessment. Let's think back to that AFC Championship game. Jacksonville was having their way with the Patriots when they had the football. But then as they got into the second half, and we see this happen with teams, and I remember reading some people talk about what it's like to play the Patriots, particularly in the playoffs, particularly at Gillette, you second guess yourself. That was the difference between the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. Jacksonville started to second-guess themselves. They got on top early, being aggressive, doing different things, throwing the ball, using those sort of RPO-type plays, those package-type plays where they had different calls to each side of the field and Bortles would choose based on numbers or ratios or box count reads, and they got away from that. They started to get conservative. They started to second-guess themselves. They played not to lose. But then juxtapose that with Doug Peterson going forward on fourth downs. Philly special, all this stuff that had gotten them to the Super Bowl, they didn't get away from that. And that's just a lesson to anybody out there that's a coach, that's a player. Don't get away from who you are as a person, as a player, as an athlete, as a team. It will cost you. Playing not to lose is the easiest way to lose. A couple more things from Jalen Ramsey. I know I'm running long here, but I don't care because this is amazing. Ryan Tannehill. I don't know much about him. Haven't heard the greatest of stuff about him, but I don't know him personally, so I can't tell you. I don't watch their games either. Phillip Rivers, I think he's pretty good. What's the Atlanta quarterback's name? Oh, boy, batting down the hatches. As somebody who has tangled with Falcons Twitter this summer, Jalen wastes no time to dive right in. Matt Ryan, answer. I think Matt Ryan's overrated. You can't tell me you win MVP 2 years ago, and then last year you were a complete bust. You still got Julio Jones. There's no way that should ever happen. I don't care. You know what that tells me? That tells me Shanahan left, went to San Francisco, got Garoppolo, made Garoppolo this big thing, and now Garoppolo is a big name, and now Ryan has this bad year. All right, well, was it really you or was it your coach? He was doing what was asked of him, and it was making him look really, really good. Next question. You know that if you were to go into GQ and Matt Ryan would read it, it would make bulletin board material, right? That doesn't bother you? Answer. I don't play them this year anyway. Nah, it just makes me wonder, though. This guy's incredible. Just incredible. And, you know, I do want to just point out that, like, I started this thing and I put it out a tweet yesterday. It was basically like, I want to see him rank quarterback writers next because I could only imagine what he would say about a guy like me. And what I theorized, what I hypothesized was he would say something about how I'm just a never was Division III quarterback. It was garbage. But this is great, and this is one of those prime examples of how, like I said, we love guys that talk and that can back it up because they make for great copy during the week, and they make for a great show on Sundays. And Jalen Ramsey fits that bill. And I know that there will be people out there that they will read a thing like this, they will read an interview like this. I was already seeing it yesterday into this morning where people are saying, oh, what happens now if Pittsburgh beats them? Or what happens now if they end up playing Atlanta in a Super Bowl or something and Ryan lights them up? It doesn't matter. Because this is entertainment, remember. And Ramsey, for the most part, to this point in his career, has backed it up. You look at that Jacksonville secondary last year, that Jacksonville pass defense, historically good. Historically good. And that's something that you want to see. That's something that you want to read about during the week, and that's something that you either want to watch on TV or you want to see in person. That's the kind of, you know, incredible, you know, athlete and entertainer and just, you know, you could basically make the case that he is just an ambassador of the game right now in Jalen Ramsey. And I'm excited to see him this year. I'm excited to sort of watch his career unfold. And I'm excited, honestly, to read more stuff like this from him because his personality is just stuff. It's the kind of stuff that I think this game needs. And speaking of guys that you want to go see or you want to watch, which would you rather do? Watch a guy like Jalen Ramsey on your couch or at the bar, or go see a guy like Jalen Ramsey in person? Easiest way to go see a guy like that in person and have the kind of experience that will last a lifetime is through our friends over at Vivid Seats. Look, NFL here is back. We've got a game tonight, Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl rematch, but we are getting closer and closer to the NFL kickoff weekend where the Patriots host the Houston Texans on September 9th, and you want to be at Gillette when that happens. You don't want to be sitting at the bar, sitting on your couch, scrolling through the timeline, seeing dumb little takes from me on Twitter. You want to be at Gillette for that game, and you can get there thanks to Vivid Seats. They are offering Locked On Patriots listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use their exclusive promo code LOCKEDON. Locked On. That's one word, Locked On. New customers only, and the offer is good through the end of August. Preseason and regular season tickets are available now. The Patriots kick off their home schedule on September 9th against the Texans. You can be there for all the excitement. Brady, Watson, a duel for the ages last year, reviving it this year to kick off the season. Go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off your first order. The NFL offseason is over. The regular season is here, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game. Up next, our usual game day fare. I'm going to talk my expectations of what I'm looking for tonight on offense, and then a little bit later, what I'm looking for tonight on defense. That's all ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now here on this Thursday game day edition installment of Locked On Patriots. And we're going to talk tonight's game, Eagles-Patriots, a little Super Bowl 52 rematch, and expectations first on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to see Brady tonight. Expectations are that Tom Brady is going to play. So obviously, first, most important thing, I want Tom Brady to get in, get out, and get back on the sidelines. I don't want any injuries. I don't want any nicks, any bruises, any cuts to his hand on an awkward handoff, any lower back pain. I don't want any of that. My main thing that I'm looking for tonight is that Brady gets out healthy. Similarly for Rob Gronkowski, if he makes his preseason debut, I want those guys laughing and yucking it up on the sidelines midway through the first quarter. That's what I want, okay? If Brady plays, when Brady plays, I do want to see Tymon. I want to see Tymon, him being on the same page with his receivers. I don't care about numbers. I don't care about results. I don't care about production. I just want to see Tymon. The rest of the stuff will work itself out, but I want to see if they're getting on the same page when it comes to their route designs, their route concepts, drops and footwork syncing up with when the ball is supposed to be coming out. That's what I want to see. I want to see Brady staying healthy, and I want to see if the timing is basically there with his receivers, particularly the ones you expect him to be playing with for the bulk of the season. Your Hogans, your Edelmans, you know, Dorsett, I don't know if he's going to go. That might be more of a game time decision, you know, given the injury that he suffered in Tuesday's practice. You know, maybe some Eric Decker action, maybe some Cordell Patterson too. If he's throwing to these guys, I want to see the timing pretty much, not perfect, but close. You know, that's what I want to see with Tom Brady in the game. Looking at some other positions on the offensive side of the football. Let's start with running back. Running back continues to be one of the position groups to watch. You know, given the depth that they have in this group right now, the numbers that they're facing, and the fact that some guys, like say a Brandon Bolden, you know, shout out to my boy Murph, you know, perhaps facing a little bit of a numbers crunch. So I want to see the rotation of the running backs again. I want to see if Jeremy Hill looks like we saw last week. I want to see if Jeremy Hill looks as good as we saw last week, looks as stout as we saw last week, has that ability to both run downhill as well as be effective as a receiver out of the backfield. You know, he had that catch on a 3rd and 8 in the flat where he missed two defenders, evaded one tackle, stiff arm on a linebacker, picking up the first down on a catch in the flat on 3rd and 8. That's the kind of stuff that extends drives, gets, you know, turns potential field goals into potential touchdowns. Those are the things you need to win games in the National Football League. So if he can keep doing stuff like that, I will be overjoyed. That might make a guy like Mike Gillisley disposable, but we'll see. Making a guy disposable, that's probably not the best turn of phrase. Apologies there. Making a guy like him perhaps a cut possibility. Let's put it that way. Ralph Webb. Are we going to see him again? Is he going to play like he did against Washington's, you know, 2s and 3s and 4s? If he gets some early run in this game, that might tell you that they're really taking an extended look at him to perhaps be a guy that could make this team. And if that does happen, you have to wonder about a guy like, say, James White. You know, is there some overlap between their skill sets, making perhaps a guy like James White somebody that might be on the outside looking in when we get to the final cutdown day? And Brandon Bolden. Remember, I revisited Roster Projections 1.0 thanks to my boy Murph calling me out on Brandon Bolden. And when you go back to watch that Washington game, you do see that when they went hurry up at the end of the first half, it was Bolden who was the running back on the field. That shows you that, you know, they were basically running with the ones. He might be the guy that they trust in situations like that, you know, after, say, a James White or a Rex Burkhead, because of how they trust him in pass block and pass protection situations in the pocket. Getting us back to protecting TB12. So curious to see his usage tonight as well. Wide receiver, as I mentioned, I'm looking for timing with Brady. I'm looking for, you know, those guys being on sync with TB12, because that's really the more important thing as we get forward to the regular season. Are these guys going to be on the same page with the starting quarterback, Tom Brady? usage as well. Do we see Dorsett after the injury? Do we see Decker for extended action? And if so, when do we see him? Do we see him early in the game with Brady? Do we see him more later in the game with Hoyer? That's something I'm going to be watching, as well as the ongoing battle between Riley McCarron and Braxton Berrios for perhaps the last wide receiver spot out of this group. It does seem like McCarron has the inside track on that right now. When Dorsett went down to practice on Tuesday, who was the guy that came in? Then when they were working that hurry up, you know, 2-minute offense type stuff, three receivers were Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, and Riley McCarron. That might tell you that Riley McCarron has an inside track at that number two Z type spot, or that number two, yeah, probably the number two Z type spot. So that's something to watch. Or can Braxton Berrios play himself back into the mix, or is he really sort of the guy that has to overcome Riley McCarron? So watching that battle as well. Finally, up front on the offensive line, it does seem like Trent Brown has that left tackle spot locked up. Do we see Isaiah Wynn early at the right tackle spot? It does seem like that might be the play that they're making with him, seeing if he can be sort of a swing tackle for the New England Patriots. If so, want to see him at right tackle, want to see him early, handle in that spot. Do they kick him inside as well? Do we see Isaiah Wynn at multiple spots on the offensive line tonight? And then finally, I want to see Matt Tobin. You know, we're seeing him getting some left tackle run, perhaps with the ones and the twos. We saw that at practice on Tuesday. He was a guy that I came away somewhat impressed with out of the preseason opener. So that's another spot that I'm watching as well. Do we start to see him making a play for perhaps a roster spot as well over a guy like, say, Ted Karras, who has some versatility on the inside? Maybe the thought is with when you get overall versatility, with Tobin, you might get some tackle versatility. You know, when could be your swing guy inside as well? All this stuff remains to be seen. A lot of spots up in the air, depth spots, you know, at all of these position groups. Definitely something to watch as we get into this game tonight. As for the overall atmosphere, there's been some talk about, you know, Lane Johnson perhaps not being received too kindly, and there might be some of that as well, but look, you're going to see it's not so much a Super Bowl true rematch, because it's going to be a lot of twos and threes, guys that really didn't see the field in Super Bowl 52. Both organizations have a lot of evaluation to do of guys in the twos and the threes and the fours, guys that are fighting for roster spots. So that's really the big takeaway that's going to happen from this game tonight, is, you know, evaluating guys, evaluating rosters, and seeing who has earned themselves a shot at the 53-man roster. So any sort of like Super Bowl rematch, I'd kind of take that all with a grain of salt. This is really a chance to evaluate where you are as a team and where you are at some of these different roster spots. So that's a look at offense. I'm going to look defense and special teams. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you to close out this Thursday game day installment of Locked On Patriots. Going to talk quickly here. My expectations, what I'm watching, are the defensive and special teams phases of the game on Thursday's preseason game two against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I wanted to mention something here in the what I'm reading segment from Wednesday's show. I talked about a piece from, I believe it was a piece from Roger Sherman or Danny Kelly. It was one of those two pieces from The Ringer. And in one of them, you know, they were talking about, I believe it was the Sherman piece, talking about, you know, how the air raid is sort of here to stay and how we're getting, or maybe it was the Kelly. I'm going back and forth. It might have been the Kelly piece. On one of them, they were talking about misdirection. And they were talking to Jeff Schwartz about RPOs and misdirection. They got into sort of the Super Bowl 52 game plan. And Schwartz made the case that when you look at how New England tried to defend Philadelphia in their RPO game, what they really tried to do was take away the throwing lanes. They tried to take away the throw read for the quarterback, make Foles hand the football off, and then try to swarm to the football and stop the run. And obviously, that didn't really happen. But it got me to thinking about the acquisition of Danny Shelton. And it got me to thinking that, look, if you're going to try to keep doing that, make the quarterback give the ball in those moments, take away those throwing lanes by dropping your linebackers under those slants, under those hitches, to take away those throwing lanes and make the quarterback have to hand the football off and then rely on the guys up front to either clog running lanes and then flow to the football or to make the stops themselves, who better to acquire than a guy like Danny Shelton, who should be able to serve in that kind of role? And it got me to thinking even beyond that, are we going to see Brown and Shelton on the field at the same time on the inside of sort of a four-man front? Those two guys on the inside with the ability to each of them occupy perhaps two gaps, be two gap defenders up front. And then you've got guys like Flowers and Rivers or Flowers and Claiborne off the edges You know, that might be the way that they're moving. So that's something I'm watching during the course of this game, because while Foles might play some, you're still going to see Philadelphia's offense. You're still going to see them doing the things that they do, the RPO looks and things like that. And so I'm wondering if we're going to see some of that. We've spent so much time wondering, is this linebacker group going to be athletic enough to handle the RPOs, the misdirections, and all that stuff? Have we again been approaching it the wrong way? Where it's not so much worrying about the linebackers, it's wondering if the guys up front can stop the run. That might start with Danny Shelton, so that's one thing I'm looking for tonight. When we get to that second level, Juwan Bentley, can he have another performance like he did against Washington? If he does, you might want to lock him down for a roster swap, because he's really getting a lot of attention right now. Had a fantastic game against Washington. Evan Lazar, he wrote a piece how, you know, Juwan Bentley was the best defensive player on the field for New England last week. He can establish himself as a guy to lock down a roster spot with another performance against Philadelphia. And then Christian Sam, if we do want to revisit that idea of getting athletic at the second level, this is a big night for him against this offense, against what they do, the misdirection, the RPO stuff. Very curious to see how much action he gets on the defensive side of the ball, and when he's in there, if he shows you that athleticism that we expect from him. So I'm watching those two guys at the second level. Eddie Pleasant versus Jordan Richards. You know, I sort of brushed off the notion of Pleasant making the roster. Maybe I need to revisit that. We're seeing a little bit more about how, you know, he might be the guy to push Jordan Richards off the roster. I know some Patriots fans might be clamoring for that to happen. If so, I'm going to be taking a long look at him tonight to see, you know, if he's got that potential. I sort of brushed it off as an afterthought after last week. Maybe I need to revisit that. And finally, when you look at the secondary, those deep quarterback spots, you know, Wiltz, Ryan Lewis, Keon Crossan, you know, J.C. Jackson, you know, these are guys that are going to be fighting for like CB6, 7, you know, maybe 8 if they decide to keep, you know, 8 cornerbacks, which, you know, might be a little bit much, but you expect them to probably keep 7. And so when you look at guys like Jamal Wiltz, Ryan Lewis, J.C. Jackson, Keon Crossan, you know, which of those guys or which two are maybe... Yeah, which two of those guys might sort of assert themselves as players deserving of a roster spot. I made a case for Jamal Wiltz, so I'm going to be watching him. But all of these guys, very curious to see who gets on the field earliest, how they're used, usage, playing style, and how well they execute tonight. And then finally, when we get it down to special teams, maybe we see the punting battle sort of take a little bit of shape tonight. Curious to see if we see Ducey Borquez, the rookie punter out of New Mexico. And then, of course, it comes back to Riley McCarron and Braxton Berrios. Again, that punt returner spawn, particularly with Julian Edelman facing a suspension for the first 4 games of the season. Is it McCarron's job to lose? Does Braxton Berrios make some noise in this area? Or, again, are we sort of overlooking the fact that they might just roll with Patrick Chung back there to fair catch these punts anyway? Boy. That was a quick, fast, and furious episode of this game day edition of Locked On Patriots. Again, check out that Jalen Ramsey interview with GQ. It's phenomenal. I can't help but want to root for this guy, at least until he plays New England, because he's just a fantastic talent on and off the field. And he's probably taking my job when he decides to retire, so I got to do what I can as long as I can until that day comes, because, man, he can drop some quarterback takes better than most of us. But that will do it for today's show. Again, reminder, the Locked On Patriots podcast hotline is up and running, waiting for your takes. If you want to be the next Mark Schoolfield, if you want to be the next Jalen Ramsey, perhaps, drop your takes. You can call, you can text 240-670-6016. Again, 240-670-6016. Drop, you know, comments, text, whatever you want, anytime, day or night. I'm looking to hear from you. I've said it before, I'm just the caretaker of the Locked On Patriots podcast. This is really just your show. Let me know your thoughts about how this game turns out tonight, about your thoughts on training camp, Tom Brady, Robert Gronkowski, Mayo, whatever you want to talk about. Is a hot dog a sandwich? If you even want to go down that road, a road which I try to avoid at all costs, because that is just where takes go to die. If you want to weigh in on that one or anything else, again, use that phone number, call or text anytime. That will do it for today's show. I will be back tomorrow at some point with a game day, hopefully a semi-glorious victory edition of Locked On Patriots. I'll watch and rewatch the game and draft some good, some bad, some questions like we did after last week's game against the Washington Redskins. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, in Locked On Patriots.